Well, dear brethren, today is definitely a very special occasion for us as we consider the blessings and privileges of being a mother, having a mother, which all of us have to say that had to be. And as we consider especially that this is not necessarily a frivolous holiday that kind of doesn't connect with much of our spiritual values, but that we actually have an enjoyment in the scriptures that says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land in which the Lord your God gives you. And those were the words that were given to the children of Israel. They very much apply to any human family, because what has been proven is a generation through generation that the respect and honoring of your prior generation, of your parents, of your grandparents, and in this case specifically your mother, has great benefit and a great blessing in your growth as you mature and also become a parent, become a father or a mother. And so we also have a reminder in Ephesians 6:1. Obey your parents, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And so it's in the spirit of this admonition and this encouragement to seek and find the worth in obeying, honoring our parents and our mothers, we want to reflect on the privileges and blessing of this role. We read in reprint 49:19, in this commandment to honor father and mother, we have the very foundation of society. Because whoever learns to respect his forebears will proportionately have consideration for others, while those disobedient to parents and without natural affection are prepared to be covenant breakers and anarchists when conditions shall favor such procedures. Growth of disrespect to parents is one of the notable features of our day, and one that the apostle called attention to as marking the day of trouble in the end of this age. And as you see the scriptures in Romans 1:29, 31, or 2 Timothy 3:2, those would be the scriptures associated with this expectation that in the last days, those would be the trends. If Brother Russell was seeing that back in his day, how far have things progressed with lack of respect, lack of recognition, and how careful we should be as growing up young people, as children, or as adults to continue to understand and recognize how to honor our parents and our mother. And so with this, we want to point out something very interesting about the word mother. As you see here, it's displayed in these different many languages. And if I were to ask any children in the audience, what's the letter that you kind of see most commonly displayed in this? And what's the sound that you would think is quite commonly common for? Okay, that's right. Now, let's see if this is really the case. I'm going to see if I can play this video here. And we will try to see if that... mic is... okay, I see HDMI is working. Yes, well, as you see here, this little baby was telling us that the sound of M and mama is very, very easy to produce, very easy and natural. And so all the mothers are thrilled when they hear their name and their role mentioned right from the very, very early days of childhood. And so this sound of mom, mother, mama, other languages have somewhat different sounds. Some of them have the sound N. But in Hebrew, interestingly, it's the word im or em. And in today's Hebrew, it's often ima. So it's kind of very, very similar to what we would say in other languages. So going on, we want to wonder, what does it mean to really honor your mother? And when we think about that enjoyment and that admonition and commandment. So let's just look at this kind of from a perspective of someone who is growing up. It probably would mean understanding what mother is trying to tell me. Listening to and learning from your mother would be a way to show that you honor her. And also asking advice. And you know, when we think about how we grow and develop, for a little child, from baby up, it's almost automatic. You don't really ask whether the child understands the mother. It is a condition. It is a basic requirement that this understanding develops. The learning, the listening and asking advice is almost mechanical. As we had previously observed, the child growing up is so dependent on their parents, and on mom especially, and the connection with her organism as well, that you just cannot avoid that this first part is just mechanically, automatically honoring. There is an automatic following of advice, because without that advice of the mother, the child couldn't really grow and develop. But as we continue growing up, you may wonder, well, do I really understand my mom? Can I really learn from her? Do I really need to listen to her or ask her advice if perhaps somehow I've gone through my life and I see things slightly differently? And of course, those are significant symptoms of growing up and trying to be independent, becoming a young adult. Perhaps at that phase, that very direct recognition of mother's authority and wisdom may wane a little bit, but that's all because it's going to come back in the future. And that's apparently normal, although the scriptures do remind us not to let that slip and slide too much. So let's be mature as we grow up, as young adults. Let's maturely kind of look at this and say, oh, that attitude that I may have today is going to change. Let me change this ahead of time so I don't have to go through some troubles. Okay, and as we appreciate and understand our mothers later on in our lives, when perhaps they are less capable than they were when we were little, what are some ways to honor them? Expressing our appreciation, perhaps offering even forgiveness for some weaknesses that we didn't think our mom had, but perhaps we see that there are some things that could be improved. Offering forgiveness and generosity. Encouraging her in various ways and various trials that she may be going through. Offering her a helpful and supportive hand. Assisting in various physical needs, maybe other things that you have opportunities to do, and caring for when she may not be able to care for. And finally, when we have to say goodbye to our mom, when the course of life takes her away, when she, having perhaps been a Christian inspiration for us, has left this earth and is finished her course, as the case may be, we know that she's always had the bestest intention and the best goals and objectives for us as her children. We cherish the memories. We follow her example. And perhaps if we have that opportunity in our life, we teach our children the things of wisdom that we learned from her. And I think that we all will agree that this is a wonderful privilege for us to be in that role of both children and parents and mothers. And so it's a wonderful blessing that the Lord prepared this type of learning environment and arrangement for his human children. So following their example, how do we do that? Let me advance to the next slide and show you a picture of a family that was growing together loving music. And this is Johann Sebastian Bach, and this painting represents his family getting together and enjoying the opportunity to praise the Lord. And that is really what he said. He said, as Sister Tamara provided some very useful information to me, music's only purpose should be the glory of God and the recreation of the human spirit. So we are now going to be in a minute favored by a special performance of Johann Sebastian Bach Prelude to Suite Number 1, and Justin will get situated. This will be a treat, and we want everyone, but especially our mothers, to enjoy it and to relax. And while he gets situated, in this last thought of following the example of our parents and mothers that we want to impress here at this time, this depiction of his family shows Johann Sebastian Bach truly talented musically, enjoying this time of learning and playing together. The person who brought out this quote that Bach respected God, and that was a musician and a director, continues, "I remember reading for the first time in my freshman year a simple statement by this master musician." And that's what he said: "Music's only purpose should be the glory of God and the recreation of human spirit." The more I pondered the sentence, the more it liberated my heart. Music was given to glorify God in heaven and to edify men and women on earth. It wasn't to make a lot of money or meet my ego needs or to see my name in lights. Music was about blessing the Lord and blessing others. Did you know that when Bach was growing up, the expectation of high longevity of parents was not very high? He lost his parents and his mother's mother when he was 10, and his father died shortly thereafter. And even after this very short time of parental upbringing, he understood that the purpose of service, of his talent, was to serve God with glorifying him through music. So now we'll ask Justin to play the prelude to Suite Number 1.
Thank you.
Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Justin. That was beautiful and very advanced music. We appreciate your effort. Wonderful, wonderfully done. And we are so grateful for the many hours that our children practice their music and how much persistence they have and how much training. But guess what? Behind every such musician, there is the persistent mom who will continue to remember to at least remind that practicing is due, or perhaps give some helpful tips on how this can be done. So we appreciate it. And, you know, just going back to this wonderful composer who truly was a part of his family, he says, encouraging this other students who might not really feel that they did very well, he says, just practice diligently and it will go very well. You have 5 fingers on each hand, just as healthy as mine. Once, when an acquaintance praised Bach's wonderful skills as an organist, Bach demonstrated his characteristic humility and wit by replying, "There's nothing very wonderful about it. All you have to do is hit the right notes at the right moment, and the instrument does the rest." So we are very grateful for the wonderful musicians that we have in our midst, and we're continuing to look forward to many other opportunities to hear the music as they continue to practice over the years. Now, as we go back to some scriptures that speak a little bit to God's care, that almost looks motherly, doesn't it? Some scriptures like this one, Psalm 91:4, "He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler." And when I look at this wonderful picture of the swan cuddling her newborn ducklings, which I think there is a story about an ugly duckling that didn't really look like this beautiful swan until they grew, we appreciate that this is an inspiration that we as parents and as mothers especially, we have that cherishing, that protective quality. And how much is it both physical and psychological, and both protecting our children in the sense of physical needs as well as cherishing and nourishing their spiritual needs. Another one that is wonderful. What's different with this hen if you look very closely? There is too many feet. And we remember our Lord's reflection on Jerusalem. He says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I wanted to gather your children together, just as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not have it." And yet again, this is an expression of God's care over his nation, over those who want to follow him. And in our case of our fellowship, our ecclesia, the body of Christ, but also how much of a motherly element it shows. Now, there are some other bigger beasts that you would think are very scary and dangerous, but when you look at them, you appreciate that even that great strength and power that might tear up an enemy in a split second still has the sensitivity and the motherly instinct that can protect her little young ones. And how beautiful it is when we see this in nature and we connect immediately with this instinct, and how beautifully the Lord has designed this world. We read in 3 John 1:4, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." And even though this was said by the Apostle John, how well this connects with the spirit that each mother will have in her heart. Is there a greater joy than to see your child growing up with the wisdom of God's word in their mind and growing and cherishing those words that they read in the scripture or learn from their parents? And whether or not there are other challenges, it would seem that those are so minute compared to that ability of the child to grow in grace and knowledge of God's word. And so we appreciate the many efforts that the parents that have brought us up, that our mothers who've brought us up, have extended to us in guiding us to learn God's word, to learn the principles of righteousness, to learn the commandments that are to be obeyed and followed. And for that, we know that our mothers especially had a great concern and a great care. Sometimes those were not the most fun things, when we had to perhaps suffer a little bit of admonition or punishment for going off our straight and narrow path as children. But yet we know that they had our best ultimate intention and objective in mind. So now with that, we will be favored with two of our young children presenting to us a poem and a song. And so Daniel and Naomi will come up and share with us what they have prepared.
I love my mommy. I love my mommy. Yes, I do. Here on the kiss and a hug for you. Say so, mommy, for all you do. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. I love you.
If life were without water, where would we be? If life were without mothers, there'd be no you or me. We all need to take hold of how precious life really is and not take for granted the gift of love and the ability to give. Thank you, God, for creating us all, for giving us our mothers so we can stand proud at all. Humans are no accident or mistake or error. We sometimes live our lives in fear of this, even to the point of terror. But when the truth is told and recognized by all, God does not create rubbish. He knew what he was doing when he created me and you. But the best gift of all is giving us loving, caring mothers who love us unconditionally through and through. None of us are perfect. That includes ourselves and family. Hold on to our precious we are, and thank God for our mothers. Amen.
Thank you, Naomi, and thank you, Daniel. We appreciate your service to the brethren and your example of obedience to your parents and your talent. And I'm sure Mom and Dad are very happy and thankful for you. Now, is Julia Hosu here? I don't think so. They may not have been able to arrive, but I have a little note that I'm authorized to read on her behalf. This is something that she had written for her mom. Happy early birthday, Mama. We love you with all our love and with all our heart. And we hope you know that sometimes, and you know that, thank you. Sometimes you are funny. And sometimes you are mad, but we still love you anyway. You are the best mama on earth. We love you. Hope you have the best early birthday ever. And we are lucky to have such a great mama. Sincerely, Julia, Marcus, and Tata. Thank you. Thank you for sharing this. And isn't it true that sometimes the mom has to take a certain stand, and what may appear to be a face of anger or what Julia here expressed so well. Another one comes from another young writer who says, my wonderful mother, and I'll just quickly summarize here, the things that I admire about my mom are her wonderful characteristics. She is patient, loving, and persistent. She never yells at me. She gives me healthy food to eat and always helps me keep up with my Polish. Overall, my mom has many great characteristics. My mom is the best mom anyone could ever have, and I am very blessed to have such a wonderful mother. Another one writes, my mom is really great. She is sometimes strict. Other times, she's funny and very loving. Overall, she is a great mom. She's as strict as a Puritan, as funny as a man in a tutu, and as loving as a mother bear. And in conclusion, my mom is as great as can be. As you can see, she is strict, funny, and loving at appropriate times. She has many faces. The face that I like the most is her mom face. And as we think about the happy and wonderful times that we have with our parents, with our moms as we grow up, and the love that they extend and share with us, we also know about the various points and times of special needs. Some of these needs may be temporary, you know, when your child is not feeling well, when you sometimes have to go to an emergency room and you discover possibly some issues or some problems. How big of a worry that becomes to the mother's heart, and how much we need the strength and the faith to stay strong and to stay optimistic and not let our perhaps sadness or some pessimism overcome us. But as we know, this is not all that there is slated in our Christian and human experience. Sometimes these needs become or turn out to be permanent needs. Someone said about a child with special needs who will never be as normal as others. Someone said it's like signing up for a beautiful vacation in Italy, but when you arrive, you find that you're actually in Holland, and you are very disappointed. You're looking here for this very sunny weather, for the beautiful ancient pieces, monuments, the Colosseum and others, and here now you're looking at windmills and tulips, which are, wait, they are beautiful in their own way. You learn to begin and appreciate what you actually have. You find ways and landscapes that you did not expect, but you still see the beauty in their in what they have to offer. And so to those parents who have taken and been given this lot from the Lord, that means that they have more strength than perhaps others of us. To them we send our special regards and prayers. And to those mothers who spent their sleepless nights, whether temporarily or permanently, wondering how the Lord is guiding them. Be assured that, just like we read in a recent manna text of April 28, we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And the hope maketh not ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit which is given to us. And the wonderful comment here is, we have the need of patience, and that only can be gained by trials. We have the need of faith, and that can only be developed by necessities. We have need of experience for our future work, which can be gained only by such experiences, which permit us to be touched with a feeling of the infirmities and difficulties and trials of those about us, to whom we shall be ministers and representatives when we reach the throne. For us, the lesson of the present experience is to resist evil, and not with evil, but with good. And as we go through these different experiences, some of us much harder than others, let's not lose that perspective and faith that it is the hope that we are trying to reach, according to the scriptures in scripture in Romans 3 to 5, that this hope is going to be for the world of mankind, that they can reach obedience, harmony with God, that they can accept their condition in some way, and He will bless them increasingly, and you will be the witness that this can happen in their life. We remember our mothers in Zion. We remember those who maybe did not have natural children, or have more than just their natural children, just because of their spirit of adoption to those who were around them. And as we know, the Lord as he was on the cross, was reminded even through the words of the Psalms 22 about being formed in his mother's womb, and remembered that he had an opportunity to give her mother a new son and to give his friend a new mom. And so we remember that those are scriptural terms and scriptural definitions. As we continue, we would like to ask Brother Paul to share a song with us and say a few words about it.
I want to take a little poll. How many of you have mothers who had seven or more children? Raise your hand. So there's six of us in the room that had seven or more children. I like that. My mother had seven children. I was the third or the middle child, the fourth or the middle child. And this is the first Mother's Day that I'm without my mother. She died last August, just a few days after my 63rd birthday. My incredible memory of my mom is when, the earliest memory is when I walked into her bedroom and saw her on her knees praying. And that happened a few times in my early childhood. And so my mother had to be a woman of prayer, having seven children. When I was able to speak at her funeral, I ended by quoting 1 Corinthians 13. And instead of love, I put, "Mom is patient. Mom is kind." And, but you know, when we pray, when we're down on our knees, there's one thing that I think is always included in our prayers. And that is the thought of, "If it be your will." You know, and I just can imagine mothers saying that so many times. "If it be your will, please let my child do this or do that. Or keep my child from this or that, if it be your will." So I got to sing for my siblings, my six siblings, at the wake of my mother. I had a desire to sing. I just wanted to do something for my siblings, in the memory of such a great woman. And so as my mother lay in the casket, my siblings are in the front row, I sang this song, and please don't be depressed by it, because there's a lot of hope in this song. It has that thought, "If it be your will." "If it be your will that I speak no more, my voice be still as it was before. I will speak no more. I shall abide until I am spoken for. If it be your will, if it be your will that a voice be true from this broken hill, I will sing for you from this broken hill. All your praises, they shall ring. If it be your will, let me sing."
from this broken hill. All your praises, they shall ring, if it be your will, let us sing. If it be your will, if there is a choice, let the rivers fill, let the hills rejoice, let your mercy spill on all these burning hearts that fell. If it be your will, make them well. And draw us near, and bind us tight, all your children here, in our rags of light, in our rags of light, all dressed to kill, to end this night. If it be your will, to end this night, if it be your will, to end this night,
thank you, Brother Paul. What a wonderful testimony to your mother's life of prayer and encouragement in this song to their to the siblings and everyone listening about the encouragement and hope that is there in the future. Some selected quotes. A mother is the truest friend we have. When trials are heavy and sudden fall upon us, when adversity takes the place of prosperity, when friends desert us, when trouble thickens around us, still will she cling to us and endeavor by her kind precepts and counsels to dissipate the clouds of darkness and cause peace to return to our hearts. Have we had those moments when we went back to our mom and we shared some sad and difficult experience only to receive this encouragement and consolation that perhaps nobody else could offer? As we continue, let's read a wonderful scripture from Proverbs 31:10 through 31, and we've asked Brother Aaron to read that to us. This is a famous quote about finding a capable or praiseworthy wife. But as we know, all these things apply to the life of a mother. And so Brother Aaron will read that to us. Thank you.
The woman who honors the Lord should be praised. Proverbs 31. How hard it is to find a capable wife. She's worth far more than jewels. Her husband puts his confidence in her, and he will never be poor. As long as she lives, she does him good and never harm. She keeps herself busy making wool and linen cloth. She brings home food from out-of-the-way places, as merchant ships do. She gets up before daylight to prepare food for her family and to tell her servant women what to do. She looks at land and buys it, and with money she has earned, she plants a vineyard. She is a hard worker, strong and industrious. She knows the value of everything she makes and works late into the night. She spins her own thread and weaves her own cloth. She is generous to the poor and to the needy. She doesn't worry when it snows because her family has warm clothing. She makes bedspreads and wears clothes of fine purple linen. Her husband is well known, one of the leading citizens. She makes cloths and belts and sells them to merchants. She is strong and respected and not afraid of the future. She speaks with a gentle wisdom. She is always busy and looks after her family's needs. Her children show their appreciation, and her husband praises her. He says, "Many women are good wives, but you are the best of them all." Charm is deceptive, and beauty disappears. But a woman who honors the Lord should be praised. Give her credit for all that she does. She deserves the respect of everyone.
Thank you, Brother Aaron. And what a great reminder to us of appreciating the labors of our mothers and of our wives who take care of the various household responsibilities and so aptly described here. Now we will ask Sister Alice to read the poem, Her Hands.
Her hands held me gently from the day I took my first breath. Her hands helped to guide me as I took my first step. Her hands held me close when the tears would start to fall. Her hands were quick to show me that she would take care of it all. Her hands were there to brush my hair or straighten a wayward bow. Her hands were often there to comfort the hurts that didn't always show. Her hands helped hold the stars in place and encouraged me to reach. Her hands would clap and cheer and praise when I captured them at length. Her hands would also push me, though not down or in harm's way. Her hands would punctuate the words, "Just do what I say." Her hands sometimes had to discipline to help bend this young tree. Her hands would shape and mold me into all she knew I could be. Her hands are now twisting with age and years of work. Her hands now need my gentle touch to rub away the hurt. Her hands are more beautiful than anything can be. Her hands are the reason I am me.
Thank you, Sister Alice. We appreciate the sentiments of these poems, and especially so when we have our mothers who really wanted the best of our spiritual, for our spiritual development, and how their guiding influence helped both us and others in among the brethren to grow into persons of faith and conviction and principles. As we come to a close of our special devotional service, we want to remember one scriptural expression and see if the commandment to honor your mother could also apply here. This one relationship that could be borne in mind is for the consecrated believers on this Mother's Day. We are children of Sarah covenant of grace. We are adopted as Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And the scripture here in Galatians 4:26-28 uses this phrase that Jerusalem, which is above, is free, and it is, or which is, the mother of us all. Now we brethren, as Isaac, are the children of promise. So what could this be? What is the mother of the church and of the new creation? Well, it stands to reason that it is the covenant. And what is the covenant? How would we describe it? Well, perhaps different ways and different rules of justice or commitment or promise are associated with a covenant. But the end result is that this commitment on God's part is such that he enables an environment, which is a protective environment for the development of the new creation to grow. And we recall now the various scriptures such as Romans 8:28, that all things work together for the good of those who are on this path, paraphrasing. and other things in which God's will for us, that is our consecration, will help us shape our path and our growth of character under this covenant relationship. So we are almost as though we were within a mother's womb with that assurance that this special arrangement, which is only for a while, is going to be there for our ultimate best development, with all the nourishment and the development input to stimulate our growth and maturity. And so may we honor and respect also this effort that God has taken to arrange for this very privileged condition that we find ourselves in. May we honor our Heavenly Father and this, our Mother, this arrangement, and thus reach the wonderful land that is promised to us by our Lord, that our days may be prolonged, as we remember that verse from Exodus, that our days may be prolonged into immortality, that we may be the source of blessing to the whole world of mankind in the millennium and in the ages to come. Let's sing in closing hymn number 294, The Secret Place. It speaks about the protection and care of the new creation and children of grace that we are receiving under the wing of the Lord. And may the Lord bless the rest of your day as you may gather to celebrate and honor your mothers.